January this morning, he began to talk to me. Because as a pastor, you get discouraged when your flock isn't there. And he just reminded me again that October is the darkest month of the calendar year. And there's all kinds of harvest activities going on. And people are in the harvest things. But he said, don't worry. In a couple of weeks, they'll be back. You know? So there's nothing we can do about it for the present, but pray. Amen? But God placed you here today. And God has a word for everyone that's gathered here today. God loves each and every one. And he cares for each and every one. He loves everyone that's here. And he loves everyone that's not here. Hello? He loves them all. Amen? And I thank God that he's long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm thinking about and I'm looking about, one of the things he was speaking about is his power and what he's getting ready to do here in the last days. And he's really been speaking to my heart about getting things into order. He said, you can't wait until it comes to get things in order because there'll be too much chaos if things aren't in order when it comes. Hello? So God is strategically setting and placing things in order. So he's got something he wants to say to each and every one of us today because every last one of us have a part. And you're here today because God chose you to be here and appointed you to be here and called you to be here so you could hear what he has to say today. Amen? And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll begin to read verse number 2. The Apostle Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brother beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And today I want to speak to you about a heart of thanksgiving. A heart of thanksgiving. We're going to look at the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration together here today? Say, I believe this is the written word of the Lord. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. And my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful today. We're grateful for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We're thankful for the word that you sent to minister to everyone gathered together here in this place. So, Father, I pray as the prophet prayed of old, Father God, send the angel to the altar and take those coals and place them upon these lips because I'm a man of unclean lips. And may the words that proceed out of my mouth be that words from you and not from me. And as your word goes forth, it'll accomplish every last thing that you sent it to this house to do. And will never cease to give all glory, honor, and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we go ahead and give you praise in advance for all that you're going to accomplish in our hearts today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, amen and amen. You know, the apostle first talks about the work of faith, and we know that, we don't work to be saved, but we work out of it, you know? Faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. But one of the things we're looking at in the work of faith is faith is an action word. And if faith doesn't have action, it's dead. It has no life in it. So first off, look with me in James chapter 2. James 2. Verse number, begin to read with verse number 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Well, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There has to be something. Faith is an action word. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And my faith is manifested publicly in front of the world. It's not just when I'm in the house. It's when I'm in the workplace. It's when I'm in the grocery store. It's when I'm driving down the highway and someone cuts in front of me. Hallelujah. The words that proceed out of my mouth, I'm a new creation. I don't speak the way I used to speak. He tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We got to change the way we think and to change the way we react. What God is saying is faith without works is dead being alone. In other words, if you're in Christ Jesus, the Father is saying we need to be busy about the Father's business. He's the comforter. I want everybody to be comfortable. Somebody look cold. Hallelujah. And how many know that everyone matters? Hallelujah. Praise God. So look with me in 1 John chapter 5. Our faith without works is dead, being alone. I mean, faith is an action word. It has to have something with it. It didn't have to have anything with it, but faith and trust in Jesus for our salvation. But out of salvation, there's something that resonates in our lives. One of the things that I want to really get in everyone's head today, because it's so important for we understand that we're in the last days and everyone has a part. If you're a child of God, you've got a part to play in the kingdom, amen, and your part is missing. If you're not, you know, he says, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So we all have a part. And also he says to us in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I think what the Lord keeps on reminding me, and we have to understand that we're in the last days and darkness is rising and it's growing. but the light has to rise even more. God wants you and I to realize that we're in this world, we're not of this world. Amen. God has us in the world to make a difference, not to go with the flow. I'm going against the flow of the world. I'm going contrary against it. I'm not walking with the flow of this world. Amen. God's called me to come against the powers of darkness and the rulers of wickedness that's around this world. And I'm not flowing with them. I'm flowing against them. So in other words, he's saying that things have to change as we're getting nearer and nearer to the end. The church has to rise up. The church has to rise up. In other words, God says, you and I, this army, we need to rise up. Yes. Amen. And recognize that we're armed and dangerous, and we're armed and dangerous not to one another, but to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. That's why Jesus says this in Matthew 5:16. Jesus said, well, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give your Father all the glory in heaven. Amen. Amen. We're letting our works show, our good deeds, our good actions. And there's nothing wrong with doing good. And there's nothing wrong with being a do-gooder. And there's nothing wrong with doing better at doing gooder. Doing gooder and better? I thought it was corny. Nobody else think it was corny with me? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse number 1. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. We start at a place, but we don't stay there. We study to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shall I? She went to the bathroom. All right. Hallelujah. Let us go on to perfection. Nobody's perfect. We serve the perfect Lord, but he says, be ye perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We're following his example. We're pressing to the finished work. And not laying again to the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You know? In other words, faith is an action word. Faith is a live word. We're living epistles to be read by men. Amen? Man, I'm really getting better at not responding. You know, one of the words I really see the Lord being magnified and glorified in my life is on the highway. Used to be if somebody pulled in front of me or ran me off the road, I'd speed up to run them off the road. You know, but God says, why would you want to render evil for evil? He says, do good to them that persecute you and despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great is your reward. Amen. So this work of faith that God's called us to be involved in, it's all birthed out of love. He said, secondly, he says, your work of faith and your labor of love. Amen. And what you do, and for the body of Christ, you do because you love him. And if you love him, you love others. And if you love others, you can't help but be a help. Amen. So when he's talking about the labor of love in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews says this. I believe it's the Apostle Paul. They don't give him credit for it, but that's okay. Verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. You know, so he says that this love that we received, it was ministered to us, and we minister it to others. Amen. Let me ask you something. How many in this room are going through something in your life and your family? Would you please raise your hand? Be honest. How many want to be ministered to in love? Amen. So we're all called to the same thing, to love, to minister the love of God. Amen. You hear enough negative things in the world that we live in. We're here to edify, to build you up, to encourage you, and to comfort you. Amen. Amen. But let me say something in this edification and building up. Listen, let me say something to you. Listen to me. When you seek counsel, and the Father says you're going to the wrong direction, and just because you don't like that you have to change directions, receive the counsel, because it's not for your benefit if you keep going the same way. Hello? Hello? So nobody's trying to hurt you. We're not here to hurt. We're here to help. You know, we have His help. He's our very present help in time of need, but He's placed people to help you. You know, God sent me here to serve you, to minister to you, to love you right where you're at, to teach you, to help you grow, to grow into the man or woman that God's called you to be. And that what you're being grown into is spilt out to others to help them do the same thing. You know, I don't know about you, but there are some people that spent some dear time and sowed some sacrifice into my life, and I'm sacrificing for others. Amen. I love it where the Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 2, verse number 10. He said, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God." God has a plan in every person's life in this room. Amen? Amen? He's called us for such a time as now, and the church is about to arise, and the enemy's going to be scattered. We sing the songs, but when you sing those songs, do you truly believe it in your heart? Or are you just saying words? When I'm singing those songs, I'm singing them out of victory, not for victory, because victory was already accomplished for me on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus said it was finished, it was done, it was already completed. I'm only doing what finishing what He started. Amen? He's the author and finisher of our faith. He says that we're going to, with faith without works is dead. In other words, it's an action word. And as we're working, we're laboring in love, because love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? And if you don't have love, you're going to have a whole lot of anger. You're going to have a whole lot of anger, whether it's in the world, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your great-grandchildren, because love has to cover everything that they do. My goodness gracious. You know, when Jesus on the cross of Calvary, I had a sin list that would fill this room. Hallelujah. But He, in love, removed it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. And what the Lord says to you, you have to forget the last time the grandchild or the child aggravated you. You got to let the last time go, or you'll be reacting out of the last time. That's right. You know, the devil's going to attack you every which way but loose. I think that was a Clint Eastwood movie? You know, and the adversary's like that. Amen. And Jeremiah 17, verse number 10, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Amen. So he's saying here, the Apostle Paul's writing this letter to the church of Thessalonica. All right? And he's talking to him. He says, hey, your work of faith, because faith without works is dead being alone, your labor of love that you're doing for the body of Christ. Amen? That every one of us have an important part for the kingdom of God. You know, God never called anyone to his body without a gift of some sort. Hello? Rather, it's waiting on tables or the cleaning or whatever it may be. Everybody's gifted somewhere, and everybody has a call to the ministry. And just because you start somewhere, I remember when I first went to First Assemblies of God across town when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I grew in ministry there, and I oversaw evangelism ministry. I was on the board. I had young adult ministry there, evangelism ministry. You know, God used me in a mighty way. But I didn't start there. I started mowing the grass. Wait a minute. I was an international businessman that would not do anything. I had always someone else to do things. And the first thing the Lord told me is to humble myself and serve. And he says, if you will not humble yourselves and serve, I cannot exalt you. Because if you've never served, nobody's going to serve you. God didn't call anybody the Lord over anybody. Jesus was the greatest servant at all. Amen? So as we come, we come with a servant's heart. Amen? As we're working and ministering to one another in love. Then he says this last one just was like the patience of hope. Patience of hope. So look with me in Romans chapter 8. You know, we all know the Hebrews that faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for. The evidence of things that are not seen. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, he says this, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So in other words, we're patiently waiting for some things. I've been in a kind of a dissertation with the Father, because I'm one of those guys that wants to make things happen. Hello? Anybody like that? And in the world and in business, I did that well. But in the kingdom of God, it's about waiting on him. His time is perfect. He's never late. It's when God says it. And when we enter into what he's doing, it's successful and it'll accomplish everything that God said. God said, is it faith is the substance of things hoped for? He told me not to get caught up in what I'm seeing with my natural eyes. Amen. He says, hold on to my promises and what I spoke to you and the vision that I gave to you. For the vision is at a point, for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it shall surely come. It will not tarry. So God said, everything that he said he would do, he is going to do it. And you may not understand what you're seeing and what you're facing, but God is not a man that he should lie. He said it. He's going to do everything he said. Amen. So I get excited. Amen. In other words, you know what generates me and gets me excited? The Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost refreshes us, renews us. It stirs us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we're not of this world. We're in it. We're not of it. Our kingdom is from above. Hallelujah. We're just sojourning here for a season. And if you go sojourning, it's a journey. I thought that was corny too. But you know that's Holy Ghost corny. Is it okay to be corny? Hallelujah. I know everybody jumping up and down. Thank you. That was a blessing. It blessed him. This is my man. Where were we? Oh, yeah, we're talking about patience. You know that, and you remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 5? He says, the trial of your faith worketh patience. And patience brings us experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Jesus Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. Amen. So matter what it seems like and what it looks like, you have to see it as only being temporary. And if you don't see it as temporary, it'll become overwhelming, and it'll be so large you'll never get past it. In other words, if you don't see past it, you'll be speaking into it instead of speaking past it. You'll feed the adversary ammunition to beat you up. Sometimes he beats us up by the ammunition we give him. And our words of our mouth and the things that we declare and the things that we say. Guard our mouths. Guard our mouths. Be careful what you say, because you don't realize how much power and authority you have as a child of God. And you let some things fly forth. And sometimes we feed the adversary with them. I don't want to give him any space. You know what the Lord has said to me? What we're doing? We're decreasing his space, not increasing it. We sang a song. I went into the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I didn't wait till the enemy came to my camp. Hello? I went and faced him off. I stood in the power of God, in the power of his might. Amen. And I began to start taking some things back. And when the enemy's coming to steal from you and to steal your family, your loved ones, your health, your well-being, your finances. Don't feed it. Stand fast in faith. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You speak forth the word, and you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen. And I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength and gives me the power. Amen. I've got to recognize and realize who I am and who the adversary is, and I am greater than whatever he has. He doesn't have anything greater than I have. I have the greatest one of all living inside of me. There is none greater than him. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know where that came, but it's coming. Hallelujah. You know, God loves you. He says in Romans chapter 15, he says this in verse number 4. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of all of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen. Everyone that's in this room has a need to be wanted. Everyone that's in this room has a need to be wanted. To be wanted. That you're valuable. That you're important. And God cannot do what he's intended to do in this world without you. Because your part is of value and of importance. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God could take all those things that the adversary meant for evil, and he can turn around and use them for his glory, and use it for his honor, and use it for his praise. In other words, God wants you and I to recognize who we are. We're not that old person anymore. I'm not acting like I used to act. Amen? One of the truths and realities is because of who I am in Christ Jesus, it's not about me, it's about him. Not too many people want to hang around me anymore. And I don't have to say anything. But I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And you're filled with, you got to recognize who fills you. And sometimes when you come in the room, just because they don't feel comfortable, that doesn't mean that you're not important or you're not valuable. Because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And they're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Amen? It's a battle that's going on. Yes. Amen? So he just keeps reminding us. Yes. We just keep pressing forward. Press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, where he's called each and every one of us to. Amen? Amen? And we're not here to please the world. And I'm not here to please everyone. God didn't send me out to be a man pleaser. I'm a God pleaser. Amen. But let me say something. If somebody is doing something wrong and it bothers you, the only way to respond is in love. It's only love that can change and transform it. You know, everybody that does things wrong, listen to me, they already know it's wrong. We know what's right and what's wrong. Come on. Come on. Amen. We know it's wrong. So we don't need to beat anybody up. This isn't a house where we're coming and have a boxing match, okay, or karate or judo or what else. We're not here to we're wrestling with spirits and not with people. Amen. So we're not here to beat anybody up. God wants you to understand that where you're at and your level with him, wherever you're at in him, that he loves you right where you're at, but he loves you so much he doesn't want to leave you there. He has greater plans for you in your life than you even realize or recognize. Amen. So I believe it's one of the most important things this is to do is, Lord, give me a revelation. Give me a dream. Give me a vision for my life. Give me a vision for my life. We have visions for ministry, but get a vision for your life. Sit down with the Lord and say, give me a vision for my life so I can run with it. Amen. And then when the adversary comes in and says, the Lord already showed me. And even in the battles of faith, I've read the end of the book. I don't know. We win. I don't know. I do know. We win. Okay. And get ready to close then. 1 Peter chapter 3. This might have been a little different today. I don't know. I don't know if it's different or not. I don't know. I'm just saying what the Lord says. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 15. The word of God says this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The apostle John says in 1 John 3:3, he says, and every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And I believe what the Lord is saying to us in closing today, that truly that he's called each and every one of us. And he's asking you, as a father asks his sons and his daughters, he's asking you to put action with your faith. You know? What can change this world hands working hand in hand together. Amen. And as we're working together in our work of faith, that we're laboring together for His kingdom in love. And love is just receiving each other right where we're at. And everybody has a unique personality. And everybody's different. That's what makes God so awesome. He didn't call us to be robots. Boy, He didn't call anybody to be me. If you tried to be me, you'd be corny. But He says to you, for that thing that you've been waiting for and the things that you've been desiring and that you've been looking for, He said, be patient and hope. Be patient and hope. Because He's birthed that in you. And the Bible says He'll give you the desires of your heart. So can we all stand? Hallelujah.